Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And yesterday we were talking to Bridget Carey from CNET about videos on YouTube Kids. And in the middle of a kid's video, they would insert another video describing how to commit suicide. There are a lot of bad things out there. It's hard to police everything. And some even worse things going on YouTube are child predators out there. And we have Chris Hadnagy on the line with us, founder and executive director and board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation. Chris, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. Now, this was intriguing to us because you are trying to find people like, I guess we call them ethical hackers and IT people to try and figure this out. The, YouTube is a very dangerous place, and every kid in the world watches YouTube videos.
Seems like every kid on Earth is not just watching, but they have their own channel,
yeah,
and they're posting their whole lives on YouTube.
So there are a lot of predators out there who target children. First of all, talk about that.
You know, it's interesting. When I saw that video from the gentleman who posted about the gymnastics and how that puts you in this algorithm and that feed, I went through step by step and guaranteed exactly what he said happened. And it was appalling, truly appalling, the comments that were there. You have innocent kids not putting out pornographic videos, right? They were just putting out videos. Maybe they're trying on new clothes. They were playing games. They were doing gymnastics. They were doing artistic things. But the comments is where we really saw some disgusting things. Not just people commenting about these little kids and their bodies and saying sexual things, but then actually posting numbers to WhatsApp groups where pedophile rings were getting together now to discuss those videos or to trade in other content.
But
it was truly, truly appalling.
Isn't it fairly simple to trace those comments and figure out where the source is on those?
You know, that's a really interesting question. That's kind of what we do with the Innocent Lives Foundation, is try to find those folks that are posting those comments and then look into who they are in real life. Here's the issue, especially with something like a WhatsApp group. WhatsApp is an end-to-end encryption application that's owned by Facebook. So it basically, once you're in that application, the encryption stops someone from really locating the people that are in that group. You need to be invited into that group. You just can't gain access to that group. So if they want to, and these people do, they're easily able to hide their steps, so it's much more difficult to find out who they are. And those of them that are experienced in this type of predatory activity, they're not using their real identities or their real names, so they're using fake accounts in order to perpetrate these things.
Can I ask the biggest question of all? What the heck is wrong with these people that they post these things just out in the open like that?
Yeah, you know, so this has been my soapbox, and I know it's not a very popular one, but I'm glad you asked that question, because this is really where my brain goes. I have two children myself, and I think that, you know, instead of, you know, burning the stake in front of YouTube, sure, they have to fix a lot of things. They really do. But where are the parents? Where are the parents? You know, when I went through this, I went through this process to see what was out there on YouTube as part of the Innocent Lives research, and I was appalled at how many 9 to 12-year-old girls were doing something called swimsuit hauls, right? So they get these brand-new swimsuits or these brand-new evening gowns, and they're trying them on YouTube, and things that should be private, things that you shouldn't be putting out on public channels. And you have to have some kind of parental supervision to even start this thing, but their parents are letting them put these videos out there where they're trying on bikinis, they're trying on swimsuits, they're trying on dresses that are not covering enough, and there they are out there, and now their videos have tens of thousands or even more views, and a lot of them are from people who have very, very bad and nefarious thinking about them, sadly.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't blame a young girl for wearing something sexy or trying a bathing suit on. I mean, I don't know.
No, you can't. I agree.
And I don't know what the kid's purpose is, but a lot of times these are just little girls or young girls that would be trying them on in front of their friends. We've all done it. I'm sorry. You get a new swimsuit. Hey, what do you think of this? Everybody is out there to gain praise from everyone else. So I see everything. Like, which dress should I wear? This one or this one? It's like we're looking to everyone else to give us some kind of approval.
I agree with that 100%. You cannot blame the girl for wearing the swimsuit, but why does that need to be on YouTube? Right? So if I want to see if something I'm wearing, I'm going to go ask my friends, my family. I don't need to post it to YouTube and then get, you know, 100 million opinions. I'm going to ask my friends and family, not a bunch of strangers, what they think about how I look in this swimsuit.
But that, we're older. 100%. That's our way of thinking. But the kids, they want likes and approvals. That's really what they're going for. So they'll come up with, you know, some idea to get all these likes.
I agree. And it is part of the social media. Oh, how do we know how we want to word it? This day and age of how social media has retrained our young people to interact with each other is through likes and the thumbs up.
Chris, yesterday, we do a weekly segment about technology, and we were talking about the fact that, and Wendy said this at the beginning of the segment, there are now people who will take kids' videos and insert something horrific in the middle of it. The one we talked about yesterday was how to commit suicide right there in the middle of a kid's video. So I said, with the millions and millions and millions of videos on YouTube, you can't put all the pressure on them to police it. There's just too many. And she agreed. What are your thoughts about that? It's a volume problem. There's too many to police.
Yeah, I agree. Volume definitely is the issue. And it's also back to the issue of what we're talking about with just the gymnastics or swimsuit videos, it's a volume problem. All of this has to do with a volume problem. Media is coming at us in such high quantity, at such high rate. The moderators, as we call them, right? The people who are being paid by social media companies to go through these things and look for content and comments and things. You know, they're those poor people that have to do this for a living. Imagine the amount of content they need to go through to find that one, you know, 30 or 60 second clip in the middle of a Peppa Pig video that is trying to shock and awe a poor 2 or 4 year old.
You mentioned that you have two kids, you said, right?
I do.
All right. So what advice did you give to them, or what was the law that you handed down and said, from now on, this is what is allowed and what is not allowed? How'd you handle it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, and this is going to sound very authoritarian, but this is the way we manage it in my house, especially as a security guy, is what I do for a living, is the internet is a privilege, right? It's not a right. So what we did for our house is when we had things on the internet, we monitored the house internet. So there was certain content that just was not allowed to be viewed. You know, anything that adult content, which is not allowed on our network here at home. In addition, social media networks that my children would be on when they were very young, we had to approve those social media networks if they were going to be on it, and then they had to be set up privatized by me. So we didn't just trust, you know, my 10-year-old at the time, say, hey, go ahead, you could set this up, and here's how you'd be private. We helped her set it up. So then we would go and we'd set up the privatization for it, make sure it was private, make sure people couldn't just come onto her account. And then her friends had to be authorized in order to come onto that account. So that way it wasn't just a free-for-all. Now, as they got older, of course, you know, freedom opened up and the reins opened up and they had to make more choices. And we educated them on how to make those choices. But it was a slow process that we educated them on as they continued to get older. So that way they were making wise choices that were not just based on what everyone else was doing, but it was based on how to stay safe and secure in a digital age.
And isn't it sad that you have to explain to a very naive, innocent child the reasons behind this? Because those reasons probably wouldn't occur to a little kid, but you as the parent have to explain what they're not aware of, right?
It's terrible. You know, the first, and especially with what I do for Innocent Lives Foundation, you kind of think, I'm going to keep this away from my kids. But I remember the first time that my daughter. She was about 7 years old, and she was sitting. She has her own Skype account. She would chat with her friends that were not local. She had friends in Ohio, friends in Florida, friends all over. She would chat with them over Skype, and her Skype account was not private. And the first time she's sitting there, and the Skype rings, and she answers it on her laptop. And when she picks it up, up on the camera comes a naked guy.
Oh, my
God. Just some random guy called her, and it was just some naked guy. And it was everything that I had been teaching and talking about to all these parents and the people flashed in my mind that I didn't do it here at home. And that's when we, you know, changed all the laws and the rules, because it was like, whoa, like this just happened to my daughter.
Yeah.
Out of the blue, just some rando was looking through the Skype list and saw, and we found out how Amaya had, she just had like a little blurb about herself. You know, hey, Amaya, I'm 7 years old. You know, I live here. It was complete innocence. She wasn't doing anything wrong. Sure. She was just a little girl. Wow. And this guy was a predator.
That is disgusting.
It is. And it's terrible that you have to do this for your kids. It's terrible that you have to sit them down and say, hey, honey, I'm sorry. There are bad people out there that want to do bad things. And this is why we have to have these rules. But in this day and age, sadly, if you don't do that, they may find out in a very more difficult way.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We have to take a break. We'll continue talking about this. Some comments from listeners as well. 312-981-7200. Chris Hadnagy, founder, executive director, and board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation. We will continue next here on 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Chris Hadnagy is our guest, founder, executive director, and board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation. Kids are using YouTube, and unfortunately, child predators are too. Chris, we got a text asking why I'm hassling you. I'm not hassling you. I'm just throwing it out there why kids do it. And the point is what you mentioned. We have to talk to our kids these days. We have to check out what our kids are putting up on YouTube. The good news is there are some major advertisers that are pulling their ads because of this, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, I didn't feel hassled at all.
I think
your questions were great and very pointed. And what I loved about it is sometimes when I go and I talk to news stations about this, people don't ask that hard question, because I do think that we need to focus more on parental supervision and how to educate our kids, and less on how to punish YouTube, and more about like how parents need to step in and talk to their kids and monitor what their kids are doing.
And it's you know, terrible conversations. You mentioned when your daughter got that Skype call of a naked man. Were you there when it happened? And if you were, thankfully.
I was. I was in the next room, and she came running in and said, oh, Dad, this call just came up, and this guy came on, and he had no clothes on. And I right away, of course, went into dad mode and got this guy on the Skype, and I just completely went into, you know, finding out who he is mode.
What the hell are you doing, buddy? Yeah.
So you have his info. You have his number. What do you do with that information?
Well, at the time, and this is going back quite a few years now, at the time, Skype was not owned by Microsoft, and there was an ability to find out the IP address of where a call came from.
Right.
So I did that. And I located him, and he was a Frenchman, lived in France, and I found his name and all that stuff, and that was easier. Now, this comes back to the root of the problem that we're talking about here with YouTube, is now they have created so many applications like WhatsApp and other applications like that that enable these groups to exist in such an encrypted digital world that these people can hide in plain sight. They can be your next door neighbor, and you wouldn't even know it, because they can exist in a space that it's almost impossible to find them.
Not, but it's too easy for predators now. Their job, you know, half their job is taken care of now. They just go on the internet. It's not right. And these are... go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's a hard balance, right? Because we want to be secure. We need to be secure, because you turn around every other day, there's something getting hacked. Some bank account, some health care, some power grid. Something's being hacked out in the world, and it's our information. Right? The average American probably has their information breached in one of the big breaches in the last 12 months, if we look at 2018. Right? So our information's somewhere being sold. So we want to be more secure. We're trying to educate people to use better passwords, more secure encryption, VPNs. But as we create those technologies, these predators also figure out how to use them to keep themselves safe and secure. So it's a very no-win situation. How do we create security for us without securing the predators? We can't really do it.
I hate thinking of these poor, vulnerable children, because think about it. You put a video up and you get somebody who's not coming on the screen naked but is acting like a friend. And, you know, again, everybody's seeking approval, and these kids are so vulnerable. We need to say, if you don't know this person, do not communicate with them. Do not give them your phone number or tell them where you live. Don't share private information. Would that be a first step with having that conversation with your kids?
It would. And you know, even before that, I would say that parents also need to have the conversation. And this is what I did with my daughter. It's like, okay, you want an Instagram account? That's fine. But I also must have the passwords at all time. And once every X period, whatever it is, 1 week, 1 month, I'm going to log in and check it. Because I'll give you a terrible, scary story. We just worked this case. We got called from a father in California who found out, because his daughter had been getting groomed and ended up being some 40-year-old guy, but he made an account of a 14-year-old girl. And he had looked at this girl and found she was a gymnast and she was into gymnastics. And he made an account about some 14-year-old girl who loves gymnastics. And he developed a relationship with this girl. They were best friends. They chatted every day, all day, through school, after school, before school, waking up, before bed. Their chats were hours long. And this girl was ready to go meet this person for a date. And she would have been kidnapped if the dad had not found out and intervened, and then we stepped in and got law enforcement involved.
That's horrible,
so,
Chris.
You know,
horrible.
It's horrible, and it's scary, and she didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
She just was looking for a friend, and they had mutual interests. And this girl was in the gymnastics, and this fake girl was in the gymnastics. And they both had arguments with their dads. And every time she had an argument with her dad, this online identity had an argument with her dad. So they bonded over these instances. And before you know it, this friendship developed over weeks where they were so close. It's like, we should just go and hang out. We should go away together for the weekend. We should run away and just go and tell our parents who the boss is. And they had this whole plan. And it was when this person online started asking for a little bit more of a risky picture-taking session when the girl felt a little odd and then told her dad. And then dad snapped into action, looked on the internet, found innocent lives, called us. We helped locate the person and then handed it over to law enforcement. But, I mean, how many of those cases don't turn out that way? So I think the first step has got to be, and we told the dad the same thing, you've got to be monitoring your kids' online activities.
What about
secret
accounts?
Answer, but you have to do it.
What about secret and private accounts that, you know, we may not be aware of?
Yeah.
That's a whole other issue.
It is. You know, we can go on for days on that one, because I feel, and I'm in the industry, I feel like it's a constant battle between parent and kid to see who's going to outsmart who, right?
Yeah.
Because they can start their own accounts. And at the end of the day, it has to be a open, willing relationship, not adversarial, right? So for me, it's not me sneaking to get my daughter's phone and grabbing it and hopefully she doesn't catch me. It's me saying, okay, honey, it's time for me to check some things, and hoping that she's not sneaking, and to explain to her why. Saying, like, look, here's a news story. Look what happened. This girl just got abducted because she was chatting with this guy on social media, and now I'm scared, and it's right in our neighborhood. I just want to check and make sure you're safe.
Great way to go about it.
Yeah, just openly communicating and not making it, I know you're doing bad things on the internet, so give me your phone.
It's, right.
I'm your dad. My main priority in life is keeping you safe.
Amen.
So that's all I want to do.
Chris, I really think mentioning what you just said is key to all this, and telling them that a lot of these predators are masquerading as kids, because a kid is so innocent and believing, and they want to believe they're really talking to a peer of theirs, not some adult that's out for awful means. Thanks so much for sharing these stories with us, Chris. We really appreciate it. And sorry Wendy was so rude to you.
Shut up.
No, I'll find it in my heart to forgive her.
All right,
I will.
That's nice of you.
You're great. Chris Hadnagy, great job. Founder, executive director, and board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation. And if anybody is having some issues, what's the best way to contact you, Chris?
They just go to innocentlivesfoundation.org. They can find all information there about how to report a case, reach out to us. support our cause. All of that is right on the site there.
Great work. Keep it up. Looking forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it. Wow. That's a lot.
I'm scared. You know what, that's Bill? Horrible. I got to tell you, if I was communicating with someone online and we had like interests,
you'd want to trust them.
I probably would.
And you're an adult.
I know.
So think about somebody much younger.
Makes me sick.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then Dane Neal stops by.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.